right, everybody, welcome to our 1 o'clock session. It takes a community strategic campus technology partnerships to advance teaching and learning. We have here Scott Hildebrand and Christopher Waters. Sorry, went to walk in there. Scott is, they're both from Elon University, and Scott there is the Assistant Director of Teaching and Learning Technologies, where he specializes in training and development to facilitate workshops, events, and other opportunities to help faculty integrate technology appropriately into learning. He holds a BA in Communications from Elon University and an MA in Educational Technology from Pepperdine. Christopher serves as Assistant CIO, Director of Information Systems and Technologies in Elon in North Carolina, for those of you who don't know where Elon is. In June of 2009, Christopher was appointed to serve as Interim Director of Teaching and Learning Technologies to further integration of academic technology support initiatives. Before that, he worked at Rutgers as the Associate Director in University Relations. And he is a past president of the Association of Higher Education Cable Television Administrators. He earned a BA in Communications and an MA in Communication Information Management. So, everybody, don't forget, after the session, be sure to go online and fill out your feedback form so that these guys can know how well you thought of them. If you start to nod off, he does have a baseball he's going to throw at you. So, hide it well.
Good afternoon. That baseball is from one of the vendors. That's how I got the baseball. welcome, everyone. Hope everyone can hear us okay. We like to move around a little bit, so we don't have a wireless lav or anything. So if you can't hear us, just let us know. Again, we are from Elon University, which is located in North Carolina. We're central North Carolina. A little bit about the university, just to give you a point of reference. We have enrollment of about 5,000 undergraduate students, a little over 600 graduate students, making up a campus body of over 48 states and 49 other nations. We have 358 faculty, full-time faculty, a little over 50 majors, and we do have graduate programs in business, education, interactive media, law, and physical therapy. So that gives you a little bit of background about Elon University. And today, Christopher and I are just here to share our story with you about how we have partnered with other groups on campus strategically to help further teaching and learning on campus. So Christopher and I are both in the technology area on campus, and we're forming partnerships with other areas on campus as well to make sure that teaching and learning is advancing and moving forward. So I will turn it over to Christopher and let him share a little bit about how we are structured on campus and how we're moving forward.
Thanks, Scott. Good afternoon. Hope all is well for you folks at this sort of midpoint of the conference. We're going to admit up front, this is a really cool space. We're excited to get a chance to try this new room, but I will tell you it's very interesting to have your technology in multiple spaces. We're also using Prezi today in our presentation. Everybody seen or used Prezi? We had an experience on campus this year where some faculty used it in an opening session, and it sort of changed everything for us because everyone came to our department in teaching and learning and said, can you just take all of our PowerPoint and convert it for us? So we found ourselves in a place where we're going to try it out and see sort of how the pedagogy impacts of Prezi are as well. Over here, I bring up our structure because one of the key things that was important when we were talking about this redesign in our group is our central technology group is called Instructional and Campus Technologies, and it's made up of the groups that you see here. One group, there are two groups that we made some changes as we realigned our academic group is Instructional Design and Development, very traditional course support. We have instructional designers on staff. We have learning management systems staff on board. And then in our ITS, or Instructional Technology Group, that was where we, in a sense, almost supported our staff organizations. We are central technology. You'll hear us talk a little bit about our name in a bit. But what was fascinating for us is that we support the entire university. So someone in student life, someone in admissions, someone in advancement is, in our mind, equal constituents to our faculty and student colleagues. So we really do try to maximize our resources, knowing that we sort of serve all in our community. So the change that we made that you'll notice here is we put a new group together called Teaching and Learning Technologies, TLT. I'm now hearing people say TLT back to me, so it must be sort of working its way into the culture. But that migration of change was how we saw this merger of what was instructional design and development and a technology support group all coming together in the same area. One thing that was interesting, we went out, we spent about 6 months to 9 months. Our vice president for technology, who is in amongst you today, was someone who said, we need to make this change in a very short period of time. So we spent 6 to 9 months out meeting with the faculty, meeting with the deans, talking about how we impact academic technology and what are those strategic partnerships that are out there. And what we learned was the changing perceptions from our faculty community were immense. It wasn't that our community didn't open up and listen to what they had to say, but what was fascinating is the feedback that we had received from new faculty and new deans was, we don't really care what you call yourself. Instructional technology, campus technology, whatever, you're all IT to us. So we really started changing our culture about how we refer to ourselves in that community. Scott has, I think, a story too.
Well, in thinking about our past and how we worked with faculty and so forth, some of the faculty came to us and they wanted help. That's all they wanted. They just wanted help and they wanted it right then. So we offered a lot of on-demand or just-in-time training, I guess, to faculty. We have a student technology assistance program on campus that offers help to faculty. So they were used to getting lots of help with things as well. We also had faculty coming in, new faculty coming in, who wanted either you to do it for them or just to leave them alone and let them do it on their own. You know, give me all the tools that I need, let me go off in my office, and I'll do it myself. We also found, and this we'll come back to this a little bit later about projects, but we also found in our previous structure that because we were supporting so many different people on campus, there were faculty who figured out the system as far as projects. So there was a faculty member, one in particular that I can think of, who knew that if he brought the full project to us, it probably would not get completed. But he had close relationships with people in IT, so he knew if he would go take a little piece of it and go work with one person and take another little piece and go work with another person, that eventually he'd get his big project completed. And eventually we caught on to that. We found out that, you know, after talking to each other, that such and such showed up in my door and wanted me to do this. Well, that's funny. He showed up and wanted me to do this. And we started putting the pieces together. So helping change faculty perceptions about how we can help them through their projects and provide just-in-time support for them as well was something that we had to overcome.
Let me ask in this room just a general survey, what kind of representation? Folks who are instructional technology folks work in that area. Faculty in the room, folks who have dual reporting and faculty line, excellent. How about IT support systems, that kind of group, excellent. Any instructional designers, I think I asked that at the part, but literally classically trained instructional designers. We have several folks on our staff that one with a PhD in instructional design, and you'll hear as we merge, one of the things that's fascinating, we'll talk a little bit about some of our partnerships, is how do you most effectively use instructional designer skills? For us, years ago, it was trying to build new types of courses, integrating technology in the classroom. But now it's really evolving to where someone with an instructional design background really almost serves as a project lead or a project manager for us to try to help really broaden the types of projects initiatives that come by. And that's challenging at times. The last line, which I'd already mentioned earlier, was that in our faculty, in our community's mind, is people literally started saying, you guys are all IT. So if you're not a traditional IT sysadmin or networking person, sometimes that word IT might be offensive to them on our staff, and we had to really kind of build a new culture that IT is where it's at. You know, you can still be cool. You know, we're all in it together, and making sure that our partnerships are broad in the university as IT. Let me share with you just four or five brief goals that were important to us as we, again, were out polling with our community. How do we make sure that there's excellent triage for folks walking in off the street? We have a very pedestrian campus. Students and faculty walk everywhere. We had folks walking into our main offices, which is located in the library, the academic home for us. How do we make sure that when someone walks in off the street, there's a space that they feel comfortable? Do they reach one of the students in our student support program who can quickly answer a question before a class? I know it never happens on your campus, but we would have folks walk in and say, I'm teaching in 5 minutes, and I really need to figure out how to incorporate this. it did happen for us. And not that we would not be open to that, but maybe we weren't staffed appropriately during that time. CATL, you'll see again in a minute, but that's for us, Center for Advancement of Teaching and Learning. That is our sort of the academic side, non-technical, if you will, support for faculty on campus. And we want to make sure that the referrals that are coming from CATL are coming to the right place for us. You folks probably realize if your campus is divided that you might have a Center for Advancement of Teaching and Learning on a campus and a technology group, and they never speak. I have met with several folks on campuses, and they say, yes, they're over there. We know they exist. For us, it was really important that when someone came to the center as a new faculty member or had an idea, that Cattle knew who in our organization to go to quickly. We almost created an A to Z services in our wiki so that it was easily searchable so they could find the right individuals. How do we improve communications in our own group? How do our staff know who we are and what we do? In this reorganization that I kind of glossed over here, there's about 25 individuals in various areas. Scott's going to tell you the makeup of the group in a bit, and you'll see how that's divided. But we gave 23 folks a new supervisor in about 3 weeks. So we made some significant changes to really help everyone think our new model through. How do we provide clear levels of support? We're going to talk about project management before we wrap up today, but how do we make sure folks understand how they get supported? What's top priority? In our group, there is no shortage of great ideas. We actually almost made T-shirts a year ago that said, is it an idea or a project? And Scott coined that phrase because everything seemed to go directly from idea to project phase. How do you make sure that you're thinking those through? How are we doing innovation and new learning models? If the Center for Teaching and Learning is bringing new things out and our staff that are technologists are bringing new ideas, how do we make sure we're innovating even though budgets are tighter than they've ever been? How do we make that happen in this group? And the dean certainly liked to hear that when we were sharing that. And finally, using project management is our model throughout IT to give deliverables. One of the complaints that we were receiving is that folks really felt welcomed. They felt like their ideas were well heard, but then it would go off into the abyss of we're working on it. And how do we make sure that we give good timelines and deliverables so folks realize that's a great idea, but that's going to be 6 weeks, or that's a great idea, we'll help you tomorrow, was key for us in this time of our goals.
So Christopher already mentioned a little bit about our new structure and teaching and learning technologies, how it fits into the organization as well. So now let me share a little bit about what teaching and learning technologies is now and what services we provide for the campus. So our group is comprised of multimedia and web design services. We have instructional designers, as Christopher mentioned, on campus. We do video and web conferencing out of our area, Blackboard support, Scantron, Summer Online, which is the only time we teach online at Elon is during the summer, but that runs through our area. Software support, facilities management, you can see the list up there of all the services that TLT provides to the group. And as Christopher mentioned before, we're not only serving faculty, but we're serving staff and students as well. So these are a lot of services that this group, that our group provides. We were also fortunate to have the video group within our area, and so we started thinking about how are we going to market ourselves to the campus. One of the ways that we came up with was putting a video out for people to learn a little bit more about us. So I'll give you an opportunity here to watch the video, and it'll help you learn a little bit more about teaching and learning.
Have you thought about implementing a new and innovative technology into your classroom or wider department?
Smart boards are like a big interactive computer screen.
I was wondering actually if the questionnaires themselves could be something that would add visual interest.
Teaching and learning technologies can help you get started.
I think there's several ways we could do that.
We provide faculty, staff, and students training and support in their academic projects using digital media, the web, or course support modules.
All right, as far as new projects, anything coming up?
If you have an idea, reach out to our team to help you develop a video,
contact your residential area,
audio, or graphic element, using hardware or software to support classroom instruction, create a multimedia presentation, or even host a campus event. The Teaching and Learning Technologies office is located in Belk Library 115 and is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Be sure to check out the Technology Wiki for further information or call us at 278-5006.
So that's a video piece that we've put out on our teaching and learning site, our teaching site, for faculty to learn a little bit more about what we do and drive some business into us as well. Let me back up just a second here. As we look at this list of services that we provide, is this something that's unique to us? I mean, we can stop and take a question here. Are these services that you all are offering within one group within your institutions, or is this something that's spread out over multiple groups in your institution? That's one of the challenges that we had. Is we had all of these different roles and responsibilities. Again, we were taking really two departments and bringing them together into one. One of the things we get questioned a lot, the event support, and I know that's very unique to have event support within teaching and learning technologies. But the way we describe that, we have a lot of campus-wide events that are tied into academics on campus. We're supporting those events. Most of those events that we're at it, supporting the sound and so forth, we're also providing video support. So we're taking those videos, we're putting them up on the web for others to view. So to us, it really made sense. We were taking a lot of the same people and doing those tasks with events and moving them up onto the web, and it was furthering teaching and learning as well. So that was one of the things that we had some challenges integrating into the group. But we run a very lean organization. We don't have multiple positions for the most part of these areas. So folks who were doing multimedia design by day, when an event came up on campus, they may be doing something else like running graphics at the event or running camera at the event. So again, we have a very lean shop, so we were using these people in lots of different ways as well.
The other thing that we found fascinating is we have folks, even though we don't have the redundancy, that may be an event technician, a traditional AV specialist, who had maybe a side interest in video conferencing because of a previous position that they had. So is it possible that through our organizational structure, if someone, a faculty member, was doing a distance education thing with our a program in China, could that be the AV specialist that's not only assigned but really sort of helps to partner with that course? So we tried to dig a little bit deeper in people's resumes to find out, here's maybe the job you're hired for, but here's some other ways that you can maybe be excited and use some of the skills that you had. I want to take one other point that Scott just mentioned that I find a challenge because I came out of a video background and trying to get messages out via video. We have a traditional cable system on campus. We had a traditional campus cable system with reverse channels where we could broadcast back when that was the thing to do. And now, how do you get that same content? You've got folks that are making video for YouTube, and the students, in a sense, can produce it and have it on the air in seconds on their own. Why do you need a traditional push technology anymore? So we're doing some exploration now about, as Scott mentioned, is there content coming out of courses? Is there content created by students or faculty that we think can be distributed in new kinds of ways? Again, keeping it all in the same group, we're talking to each other and not having to say, oh, that's not us. We just produce the video. We don't do distribution. And again, even though that seems very sort of straightforward to do that, that's one of the biggest challenges when I met with other universities is they would say, oh, we only do this part of it. We produce content, but we don't do distribution. Or another group saying, oh, yeah, we'll put anything up on online that you produce. We just don't have any people to make the content. So bridging that gap is really been a key issue for us.
So as we started taking apart the other two areas and merging them into one and thinking about all those services and people that we just described to you, what we did is we broke those staff and services down into three different circles, I guess we would call them. One of the circles, we have the operations and support. So we were really wanting to create a front door for faculty to walk into so that they knew who to talk to, how to get their projects in, how to get training and support that they needed so they weren't going around to a lot of different people on campus and being passed along. So it was really important for us to have a one-stop shop. All of our staff is not located in the same office, so that presented a challenge. So we were really trying to find a place for them to come into and for them to come into a particular person. So we have a person, an assistant director, who's responsible for the support and the operations. And she takes requests and so forth, gets all the information, and she may pass that along to someone else so that that faculty member is not having to figure out who they need to direct their question to. We do that internally, and then we contact the faculty member or a staff member for that question or that project information. So once someone has contacted us and they have a potential project or an idea for a project, we have the creative services group that's made up of the multimedia designers, graphic designers, web designers, programmers, and also the event support is in that area as well. And one thing that we've also done is we had three instructional technologist positions, or instructional designer positions rather, and they were in one group together previously. And what we've done is we've actually taken those three instructional designers and put one instructional designer in each of these groups. So the instructional designer that's in the support group is there helping faculty with lots of one-on-one questions, support questions. They know they can walk in and that someone will be there to help them think through how they may want to design a project or get immediate help with something. We have an instructional designer in our creative services that's helping as we go through the project process. We have great multimedia designers, but they don't always speak the same language as the faculty. So we're using that instructional designer to bridge that gap so that the instructional designer can go out and consult with the faculty member, get the questions answered, take those million ideas that they may have and start paring them down a little bit so that it's really something that we can accomplish in a short amount of time for the faculty member. Also in creative services, we have facilities management and circulation of equipment as well. So, well, not in creative services, sorry, that's in support, is the facilities management. We have computer video edit labs and so forth on campus. They are taken care of through the support circle as well. And then finally, in the training and development circle, which is the one that I'm responsible for, we are now offering training and development for the entire campus. So we're offering in partnership training and workshops with the Center for Advancement of Teaching and Learning. So one of the things that we're doing now is we're bringing in faculty members who are doing something innovative with technology in the classroom, and we're partnering with them to do a session on campus to bring in other faculty members and share what they're doing in the classroom. Before that, just wasn't happening as much. Center for Advancement of Teaching and Learning was more focused on the pedagogy and not the technology, so now that we can partner together, we can accomplish both of those in one session. We're also signed an agreement with lynda.com, so we'll have all of our students, faculty, and staff on lynda.com. They'll have full access to all of that. So that starts changing the dynamics of how we're offering training on campus as well, because we're now going to start pointing people to lynda.com for the Word and the PowerPoint training, and then we'll be able to focus on more training and development that's specific to Elon, and not just general training for Microsoft every time they release a new version. So that's a little bit of how we're made up. We're happy to take questions as we go through this. If you have any questions about anything that we've mentioned.
I want to echo one other thing that I learned by talking to the faculty and the head of the Center for Advancement. Again, every campus is different. I don't pretend to understand how your structures work. I do see nods with certain things that we say, yes, that's like me. But I cannot tell you the difference of the impact of having a faculty member co-present with our technology folks. Attendance went up, questions went up, and general credibility went up by just saying that Associate Professor so-and-so and Assistant Director so-and-so will teach you today or talk about wikis and blogs in the classroom. Huge difference of an impact. We used to run tons of workshops for folks, which were well attended back in the day when people didn't understand what PowerPoint was. But as that became more ubiquitous and people didn't really come and sit in this kind of environment anymore to take a computer workshop, we have certainly found that that has made a difference. So for those of you struggling with that partnership, again, not knowing how it's all structured, having those co-presenting sessions make a big difference. Scott mentioned this advancement teaching and learning referrals. Again, very important for us. We certainly have invested a tremendous amount in how teaching and learning is developing on the pedagogy side. We're a campus that's grown really fast in the past 10 years or so, and it's hiring new different faculty, in my mind, that are coming in with different experiences and research as a background. We are not a research institution. We're a teaching institution. but our faculty still feel the pressure to do research. So how do we make sure that not only the instruction in the classroom is getting better and better, and there's more innovation and more new technology, but also the faculty are bringing with them research from the past. This partnership with CATL is absolutely essential for us. We call it CATL, not the best name, C-A-T-L. But the director and I meet every other week, and it is amazing the content that comes up between us that's more of, here's four things I heard, and he says, here's four things I heard. And most of them are completely things neither one of us have crossed our desk yet. And again, I know we are in a fast-paced campus, but that partnership has been essential for to move this forward in our organization.
And the support on campus has been essential for our success as well. Offered a lot of just-in-time training in the past. Again, I mentioned we have a student technology assistance program that those students are helping other students. We have a desk in the very front part of the library. When students walk in, we have elite students is what they're called, emerging leaders in technology at Elon. And they're sitting at the front desk, and the students know that they can go and ask those elite students any question, and they'll get help with technology. And what we've been able to accomplish with those students, not only are they supporting students who have general questions, but we're able to say to our faculty, if you're interested in teaching about blogs and wikis, or if you have an assignment that involves video, please don't take up your class time teaching your students how to do it. Let us know that you're doing it, and we'll make sure the elite students are prepared to help your students do it. So now faculty are not having to take up time in their class teaching students how to edit video that's not their expertise. They're now saying, you have a video project due, it has the following components. The elite students are in the library, they can help you with that. So we also have professional staff members, the instructional designers that I mentioned, who are there in a central area so that if someone walks into our front door, they can meet and consult with them, get quick help for things if they want. And we also have tried to position key positions and multimedia designers and so forth around that area so that if a faculty member walks in and has a question, an instructional designer is able to go over and pull someone out of their office and say, they're interested in this, tell me how this might work. And they're able to pull together a quick meeting. And that has been a tremendous help for the campus as well for that support model.
One thing that we found interesting, and again, not to beat this the CATL word to death, but we have partnered with a website that we call the teaching website, just between us. We both individually had our own departmental websites. CATL had their resources for the community. We had a technology website that supported sort of the technology services we did. We've merged that into a shared resource. I think it's on a future slide, but it's elon.edu/teaching. Not hard to remember. And that site is something we are trying to jointly promote. It not only has programmatic things that impact our faculty that they might be interested in, it has opportunities, it has featured spotlights, it has portfolios of the faculty, so that we can make sure that in a sense we're promoting what we're doing, but people can see other ideas and say, oh, I've thought about that, but I didn't know how to do it. And we find that sort of portfolio model in that peer review spirit is something that we think will be beneficial to us. We identified some immediate strategies for success. Again, we are on a very fast timeline to make this happen in our community. So these were what we identified as some take-home points that may or may not be salient with what you're working with. One is to identify this teaching site. Very often, technology websites can be information sharing, which is certainly helpful. I think our wiki is probably hit more now than our technology website because people get just what they need. But I encourage you to take a look at that teaching site. One of our challenges with the teaching site, even with the staff that we've divided out, is how do we assign that content and keep it fresh? So we have actually entertained ideas about building a calendar model and having different staff with writing skills and abilities. We do not have a full-time writer on staff, so we find certain people that are sort of our strong writers that we run things through, but trying to make sure that it's current and vibrant. And if we have some faculty partners and they're doing writing that benefit them, it also helps us. Our university just launched a 10-year strategic plan, Where Are We in 2020? And we want to make sure we're not only a part of that, but making sure that even if the word technology is not used, that the support for the instruction and the growth of our students is part of what we're doing. So that's key for us. How do we transform our individual projects into larger departmental initiatives? When we first started having these conversations, we learned 100, 150 individual projects that were coming into our group in varying ways through our moderate project management process, idea intake, often I call it. And all of those were really cool ideas at the individual course level. Were we able to take these ideas by bringing them to a larger group who sits around the table and reviews them and say, that's such a cool idea, if we're going to invest programming time, multimedia design time, that gets a little more transferable? Maybe an idea that supports an accounting class could support the entire accounting department. An idea that supports critical thinking and philosophy is something that could be transferred to philosophy as a department. It certainly creates some additional buy-in with the faculty, but we really look at each project now before we give it the thumbs up or the stamp of approval to see, can it go wider? Again, as Scott mentioned, we have this limited number of staff that can help us to reach these goals. How are we making sure that the time that they're investing is the most beneficial? We definitely reorganized our staff resources. A statistic I didn't tell you in the beginning, by I think it's an EDUCAUSE survey, but 38% of traditional academic computing departments have been reorganizing in the past 2 years. And there was another statistic saying that maybe 45% anticipated doing it again in 2 years. So we were happy to be on the right statistic when that was moving forward. So we moved those staff resources around to think about it differently. The clarifying our support with the Center for Teaching and Learning, what are their expectations of us, and what is the community's expectations, knowing that the faculty clearly have an entree with the center, and making sure that we're partnering along the way. What about faculty with grants? I mentioned earlier that we are not a research institution, but the faculty are still bringing them in. There are more NEH grants coming in. There are more individual grants. There are also faculty that are getting grants through our Center for the Advancement of Teaching and Learning. So if they've received a $500, $1,000 grant to do some innovation in the classroom, which is funded, and we didn't know about it, but it had technology, how do we make sure we're on the forefront of that? We know about it in advance. We know how to make sure that we're prepared, that if they think it's a great idea, that we've got staff that can embrace it. And this is what made us laugh. We're a small campus in a lot of ways. We're fortunate enough to have partners in our building, and we were not knowing what we were doing. So this was sort of an eye-opener. And we went back, and we've done this presentation in a different form to our deans and to our department chairs. And we've divided this staff out, and we're actually talking to departments in some ways to market and let them know what we do and be clear, but in some ways to help people go, oh, I never thought about letting you know about it before we got it approved. I see nods. Mm-hmm. And finally, how do we make sure there are better training solutions? A traditional workshop, we actually removed a little computer lab that we used as a faculty training center, and we created a common space that faculty could come and sit in cool furniture like some of you are sitting in up front, and just have a conversation with our staff. It's amazing what a cup of coffee and a staff member and a conversation like that creates in an environment for that, for us. So that was important. And then Scott's challenge is also making sure that this training is also supporting our administrative staff, who are in the business productivity side of the institution. So we're sort of charged with all of those training initiatives at the same time.
So thinking about the project development process, as Christopher mentioned, we have lots of projects coming in. In the past, we've had faculty, like I mentioned, go directly to a staff member. They start working on the project without any sort of project approval at all. They're just working on something. What we found is that faculty have lots of great ideas, and staff do as well. They would get into a project, we would start working on it, we wouldn't hear back from anybody for a while, we'd have to follow up with them, and then the faculty member may say, well, that was just a great idea, I didn't really expect anybody to start working on that. So we've tried to change some of those things, and we've offered some different levels of support, and this is really internal kind of to TLT. It's not something that we necessarily market on campus, but it's how we offer support on campus. So we classify things in a level one sort of support as training only. Someone walks into one of our spaces, someone walks up to an elite student, it's something that you can help them within 10 or 15 minutes and they're out the door and they've gotten what they need. Level two, maybe training assistance with some ongoing support. So maybe they're creating a wiki or a blog or something like that that we need to help them with, help them understand what it is, but they're probably going to need some help down the line as well. And then we go to a level three, which is a project development with staff resources. And this levels one and two, we don't do any sort of process as far as a project management process. We just take those as they come, and we help people out as we can. Level three and level four goes through a project management process. So the creative services assistant director, she's the project manager for us. So projects are coming in. They're submitted on a regular basis. We have a form that's easy to fill out that asks certain questions that faculty and staff can understand what they want to accomplish with the project. Again, we use the instructional designers to go out, meet with them, and help them fill out that form. And then it comes to a project management meeting that we have twice a week within our staff. And we go over the project. We have representation from different people within TLT so that if there's a question about video, there's someone there that can answer questions about yes, this is possible, or no, it's not possible. And we go through that project process. And we're using an online project management software called Basecamp. That's something easy to use. We didn't want something that was so overwhelming that people wouldn't use it. We wanted something simple, because the more simple it was, the more our staff was likely to use it. And it being web-based was very helpful because we could get to it from anywhere. So, like I said, we go through weekly meetings, talk about the projects, we get them approved. We're making sure that people in other areas of technology are aware of the project if it has something to do with them. So it could be a faculty member has a project that needs a server. We're working out the details with our sysadmin folks so that the faculty member is not trying to ask questions of things that they're unsure about. So we're trying to do as much in the background to support the faculty and staff as possible as well. And then number four is a university initiative. So a big project that's going to be rolled out to the entire university. Probably has to go through a different funding model to make sure that it's there. Some of those initiatives come down directly from the president. We don't have a whole lot of choice. Those go through project management process very quickly when they come from the president's office. So we do take a look at those. And then we work with faculty in partnership with the Center for Advancement of Teaching and Learning. So there may be someone who goes into CATL, they have a conversation, they say, you know, you might think about using X type of technology with that. Why don't you go talk to the folks in TLT? And then we can bridge that gap between the faculty wanting a server as part of their course and maybe wanting to learn a new technology and getting a grant and learning how to redesign their course to use that particular type of technology. So that's been very beneficial for us. It's been very helpful to get all that on the radar. We're not surprised as much when projects come in or someone asks a question about a project. We know where we are in the status and whether the project has been approved or not. So that has been a tremendous help for our group.
Have another quick question. When Scott mentioned the server question, for those of you in either side of the house, how many of you have heard of years ago the idea was, I have a new idea, I'm a faculty member, I need a computer to do that, I need a laptop, I need some research. The new thing now, and I'm hoping I get nods, is I just got this grant, I'm moving forward, and I'm just going to buy a server. And you say, what kind? I don't know, just a server. Well, what are you going to do with it? Well, I'll keep it under my desk. So from a central IT perspective, because part of my job in addition is some network security, I'd really prefer that be part of our central data system. And again, I realize in large universities it's subdivided and you do the best you can with server administration, but we literally were finding out about folks that were bringing in servers from their previous institution, as I mentioned, either help me or I'll do it myself, we talked about earlier, or they had already written the grant and already gotten funding for a one rack server that was just enough to do what they needed to do, but long term it was going to be up to us to support it. So again, trying to get the word out in advance that what is becoming so ubiquitous now is just a server, some data I'm keeping. Yeah, probably only, what was the other one I got there? There was it just 5 terabytes that I'm keeping in California, but I'd like to move it on campus if I could. Just small suggestions. We are nearing the end of our formal presentation, but wanted to make sure these were some key questions that we were asking some of our staff and our deans, and in some ways wanted to throw them out to you to create a little bit of a dialogue in the space, because I certainly have seen nods that we're in similar spaces here. But what is that perfect mix of staff who lead projects, be it project managers, be it instructional designers, be it creative folks, to support sort of teaching and learning initiatives in what would be 2020 in our institution. Any comments or feedback from the group? How do you align that staff perfectly? I know some universities are counting on soft money. So if the project's coming in, being funded from external, they hire who they need to do that project. Not really our reality. So at some level, we have to keep people on board, but that's why we are so lean and mean, because we're using them for 10 other things between projects. Any other comments about that? We have had an institutional culture of non-chargebacks, if you will, in our physical plant, and the same thing. So we really sort of at the highest level embody the non-nickel and diming. But I'll tell you, our group has been challenged the most to try to figure out how to deliver more and more services without a charge. We've had several people approach us and say, even though I don't want you to charge me, it at least would help prioritize. We've hired staff that have come from other institutions, and they said, well, if somebody brings money, that's an easy answer, yes. And if somebody doesn't, the easy answer is no. But we realize with the way our budget model, we have departments with probably fantastic ideas, and due to their size or due to their structure, they don't have the resources. So we don't want to limit that. So at the moment, we are staying true to that sort of non-chargeback model, aside from, again, supplies that we're purchasing from individuals. Thanks for that question. The other thing that we found, as I mentioned earlier, with money coming in from other sources, is that there are people who come to us directly with their idea, may or may not have money, but are used to the model of just help me because it's cool. And then we're finding the other folks who are getting the funding. So in a sense, we sort of prepare ourselves. There's a certain amount of projects that are just going to walk in off the street, and then there's a lot of others that are being funded in outside models. And if they get the funding from our campus, be it the provost office or be it the center, they assume it's going to happen. Because they've been given that thumbs up by some other group. So, again, that partnership for us was key, because even if we don't know about the idea and they think it's a great idea, we can at least anticipate it. We're certainly trying to keep more and more stats to make sure that we understand who our constituent groups are. We keep stats of who we touch, in a sense, faculty who we're helping with a course, and that may be one meeting, that may be some kind of collaboration, which is different than an ongoing semester-long project.
TLT, we have, I think, about 20 staff. So within the TLT organization, as far as technology, there are
69 to 70, yeah, in overall. And again, I gave this presentation at another conference, and there were a group of people who said, oh, you have 20 people, that's huge. But when you think about all the groups that we're supporting, it's all the video production, all the events for campus, all the instructional design, all the multimedia for the entire campus, in a sense. Our university relations has two or three staff that does homepage work, in a sense, webmaster work for the whole university. But most of the other content at an academic level, multimedia and design, be it print or the web, comes through our group in that way. So particularly knowing that the vice president's in the room, we never talk about staff size. I wrote up a full contract, took him to lunch, and said, are you ready? No, the agreement really was, it's not his mission and purpose. Clearly, there are areas that we cross, and we occasionally get into little battles about how do we finesse and word things to where we're partnering on things. But clearly, their purpose is supporting our faculty, helping advance their work in a confidential kind of model, creating workshops, creating dialogue, creating a comfortable place for them to come to, but not really to integrate the technology and not to do sort of the project-based work. We did talk about it. Thank you.